The kids, they want to masturbate. We were out to dinner with her, with a lot of couples, and the men were talking about negative cash flow. And I don't know if you know, if your husband's in real estate, that's, I think, a very big real estate term. But the term, you understand what it means, don't you? Negative cash flow. And we were sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, my friend looked up, and all of her blonde, bright-eyed, and bushy-tailed business said, negative cash flow, that's me. Oh, me, okay. Negative cash flow, that's what we're talking about. Now, I'm giving you a principle two ways right off the bat. The verse is from Haggai. I still can't say it. 2:8. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And then the title of the section, the Almighty's dollar. Apostrophe is, it is God's money. And if you could just get that down, we wouldn't even have to cover the section. It is God's money. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein, and he gave it to his son, Jesus Christ, and the whole bunch belongs to them, and just forget it. Because it's not yours. It is God's money. You get that principle firmly fixed in your mind, then I think many of the financial pressures that you experience will be relieved. The next principle is, I don't know how many saw that. Okay, let's go back on that one. When I get that, the love of money is the root of all evil. This is the verse we all know, except we love it, become confused, and change it to money is the root of all evil, especially when we don't have any. That means they who have it are wicked, and we who don't are not. The other one we like to use sometimes is people who have money are the root of all evil. We've really got this one going now. I'm stirring the pot with that one for a while. Our people who have money are evil. With these convenient distortions, we can make it seem as though we do not love money, and everyone who has $5 more than we do knows. The point of that verse is the love of money is the root of all evil, not the money itself or the people who have it or don't have it, but the love of it. And you know, sometimes when I'm speaking with someone, I can tell that they have such a love for money that love has turned to hate because they don't have it. They will get angry at people who do have, and I'm sorry, because they can't see. You see through the distortion, but it's their unrequited love that causes their anger. So it's important to realize that the emphasis on that verse is the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, why? Because money is a measure of the creation. And when I was looking at money to prepare this lesson in the book series, I couldn't find money in Scripture. Because it was under weights and measures. Weights and measures. So the love of money ties right back into the lie principle that I gave you the first day. When Adam and Eve exchanged the truth of God for a lie, they worshipped and served the creature, that is everything that God created, more than they loved and worshipped God. And so that money, you see, is a little piece of the creation. It's a little bit of it, a little measure of it. And so we love to see how much of the creation we can get in our bank. And this is the real sign that we have turned our love from God to the creation and that it's still there. He who loves money shall never have enough. This is another principle. It is an insatiable appetite. And you know this to be true because every time you get another little bit of money in your bank account, you spend it. You know, every time your husband gets a raise, you run through it the first month. And this is a real evidence of that he shall have money, that he that loves money will never have enough. And then the principle that I had on the screen is beware of plenty that you don't want. That one's out of place. Okay, we'll just look at it in a minute. Beware of plenty that you don't forget. And once again, I think this is supposed to be the last slide, but this is back to that same section in Deuteronomy where Moses is exhorting and warning the children of Israel about going into Canaan, which is the promised land for them, and the danger and the pitfalls that they will encounter there. And he says, when you get all these things, you will forget the Lord your God, and you will cease to worship him. And this is really true. Beware in plenty, you don't forget it. He says, don't forget who gave you everything you have. Don't forget to be grateful to God who has has given us what we have. You know, we can, I now make an assumption in the notebook that is that there's another principle. I'm sorry. The borrower is servant to the lender. Scripture tells us that in borrowing, in owing money, we go into financial slavery. Now, some of you are familiar with this. We become enslaved. So it's on that basis of those two things, that the love of he who loves money shall never have enough, and that the borrower is servant to the lender, that we can assume that some of us are in debt and some of us need to get out. So I usually give you in this series the principles of overspending. That is why we overspend. And guess what? They're going to be the same principles. The same lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And I don't give you the principles of business. And it's important for you to realize that the principles of spending money for the household and the principles of business are quite different. So when I say to you the borrower is servant to the lender, everyone thinks, And again, if your husband's in the real estate business or brokerage business or any of the other businesses which are founded on paper, on bookkeeping money, you know, then they'll go home and say, oh, honey, you're not supposed to borrow any money. But that's not what I said. I said the borrower is servant to the lender. So if you have, for example, let's think of some areas where this applies. Anything which depreciates in value from the day you borrow the money would fall under this principle. But anything which appreciates in value from the day you borrow the money would not fall under the principle. Do you see that? So don't go home and tell your husband don't borrow any money, because that's the sound financial principle in our country, the way our economy is set up. So if you have a piece of land which appreciates in value from the day you buy it, then you are not a servant to the lender. Do you see? Because at any given point, you could sell that land, presumably, and you would not be in slavery. In other words, the person to whom you owe the money would not have control on you as long as whatever you have borrowed money for is going up in value. But if you borrow on, like, washing machines, cars, things like that, that go down in value from the day they're purchased, then you do go into the financial bondage, the financial slavery that Scripture warns us about time and time again. So, let's see some of the appetites which affect our spending. And here we are with our ballerina and her tutu up there. And she's all concerned about her appearance and her position. And how does she spend her money? She spends her money on her appearance and her position. And so I've got three pair of flashy stockings and three pair of flashy shoes, because she buys lots of clothes and lots of cosmetics. And she's trying to remake the person that God made. She never has decided that she can live, look in the mirror and live with this thing that God created. And so she's trying to change it. And she spends a lifetime and a fortune on trying to do it. And then, can you see the fountain? Oh, that's a great, lavish fountain with the water flowing over the sides. And we're so concerned with our position and our appearance and what people think about us. And we sometimes spend money on lavish surroundings and lavish clothing and things that are really not appropriate. And then under position, we find that an overspending, and I got one question this week saying my husband is overspending on his parents. And this often takes place. The wife or the husband will want to overspend because they left the parental home with a bad relationship with their parents. And what we want to do is resolve this relationship and then see the overspending diminish. And then up in the right-hand corner, do you see the toys? We overspend on the child with whom we do not have a good relationship, a good spiritual relationship. Now, I was looking at something the other night. It said the working mother may fall into a trap here in that she will overspend on the children because she's working away from them. She feels guilty. And don't you find that when you're out on a garden club project or something for a few weeks, or studying scripture even, or doing anything, and you'll go back then to the toy store on the way home and you'll buy a big trunk full of toys and go home. And when you go out to Christmas shop, that child that you first spend money on is the one with whom you have a bad relationship. And so here again, we want to work on that relationship. And if you haven't gotten the point yet, I'm going to tell you one more time. And the reason you haven't gotten the point is because I still have trouble with this one myself. If you have a bad relationship with a child, then I've given you the reasons why the channel of God's love might be blocked. And failing that, failing having found yourself in one of those reasons, then you really pray and confess to God that you have a bitter spirit toward this child and ask Him to give you a new spirit of love for that child so you can quit buying toys for it. And also women, rebellious women tend to spend money on their pets. Now, this is just one of many areas where a woman who's in rebellion against her husband, you know, I find that men, unless they're dog trainers or have some interest in dogs, hunting or something, that men fail to understand why a poodle has to be groomed 2 or 3 times a month. They may fail to understand why those poodles have to be groomed once a month. And it's interesting to me to see how many women who are in submission to their husbands in every other area will still be spending money on those dogs. Their husband. And then they'll say, why doesn't my husband trust me? And this is one of those areas where we find that he doesn't trust her because over a period of years, she will be spending money in that area. And he just can't understand it. He just doesn't have a heart for it. And so he will begin to withdraw trust in other areas also. Now, we've talked about the solution to that, to the pride of life, again, and I'll say it to you again because you can't hear it too much, and that is that we really have to give that apple back to God. And so you want to go back over that in the notebook. That's the apple to the heart section in the new me. Now, the next area where we find overspending is when we have our faith in our circumstances. And here I've added a picture. One thing, of course, is the little ruby or whatever it is hanging around her neck there. That's one kind of circumstances, material circumstances. And then there's a rainstorm down there. Every time the rainstorm comes, when we get panicking, and they have real patterns of overspending. Incidentally, let's go back here because there are a couple things I didn't cover in appearance that I want to. And number one is, it's just expensive to maintain a position of superiority over other people. And so often, this is the nature of spending money. And also in position here, the concept of stewardship. You have to get that concept of stewardship that money, the money belongs to God. The money is the Lord's. And for years I thought that because I could afford it, I could go out and buy really expensive dresses. And then I realized that I was in slavery to those clothes and that that was God's money. And it didn't make any difference whether I could afford it. It was still God's money. And I was responsible for spending it according to his viewpoint. And I am certain today, as I became certain then, that he didn't see any reason for me to be running out in those expensive clothes. Okay, so circumstances. Now, people who have hidden from God most of their lives may be filled with bitterness over the real or imagined offenses of others, including their parents, and part of their bitterness stems from guilt over offending others. Now, a woman who has married against her parents' full approval, aside from finding it hard to discipline her children, will overspend on building her nest, trying to prove that she did marry the right man and everything is just lovely. And she will buy washing machines and things like that to establish the home that she felt she never had out of bitterness toward her parents, or to prove to her mother that she did marry the right man. Now, if a woman's bitterness is towards her husband, she may wait until she may spend money to retaliate against him, to really cause him problems. And very often in a bad marriage situation when the divorce is impending, I will say, what does your husband say you're doing wrong? And she will say, he says I'm spending him into the poorhouse. And very often she will be. But the bitterness is so deep over the marriage relationship that she won't be able to see that she's doing that. And any department store or doctor's office will be happy to tell you that they will wait until the day before the books close and then run up a big charge account, or run up a lot of money spent. When we have our faith in our circumstances, we tend to buy sets of things, and they buy ahead and sell cases of things. And one of my friend's mothers during the Cuban Missile Crisis stocked up a pantry full of food and 20 cartons of Winston's. And I don't know what we think we're going to do if somebody drops a bomb on us with a pantry full of food and 20 cartons full of Winston's. But That's the tendency is to buy and buy, you know, have our winter clothes all ready in case the weather turns cold ahead of time, and the spring clothes all ready in case the spring weather, you know, gets hot ahead of time, and sets of things, and buy, they buy ahead, and they buy on sale cases of things. They spend money on hobbies. Again, I said they're purposeless, and they play bridge for a while, and then golf and tennis, and all that costs money. And so they'll have a closet full of unused athletic equipment. And you can see this with your children, too, a closet full of unused activity equipment. And then they're embellished. Can you see the pom-pom on the ice skate and the curly cue up there? They buy all the extras. They are a salesperson's dream. They buy buttons. And the dryer doesn't just dry the clothes. It dries them 14 different ways in case she has time to sit down and figure out how the dial works. Again, she spends money on building the nest, bigger and better nest all the time, and it's expensive to keep up with the Joneses. So I encourage you to look into your life and see where your spending patterns are, and to see yourself. There are some offenders in this area are so in such financial bondage that they are paying constantly and with some reliability on their accounts. But otherwise, we can also find the person here who does not pay and who we call a professional deadbeat or someone who feels no responsibility in this area. The deep sense of personal inferiority produces a dishonesty. And they long to be, as Scripture says, people who long to be rich soon begin to do all kinds of wrong things to get money, things that hurt them and make them evil-minded. And this is what they do. They begin to react by being immoral. And here again, many times a wife, through her covetousness and lust, will press her husband into illegal or immoral business transactions. And again, the cure for this or the way out, God is faithful to give you a way out, and that is by realizing that as long as you have your faith in things like this, it's insatiable, and you will continue to feel insecure and unsatisfied with the things you have. And then in lust of the flesh, they eat a lot, drink a lot, smoke a lot, drive fast, and all those things cost money. So this is just irresponsibility, and they spend irresponsibly in overindulging. And we find men here will tend to pick up the check when they can't afford it. And one, I think, real help here would be for the wife to reverence her husband and give him the need for reverence that he gains by getting attention outside the home from picking up a check to get reverence or to get honor from his friends. She will reverence and honor him. She may find that she can relieve him a lot in that area. So, again, the last slide was to beware that in your plenty, you don't forget the Lord your God. And I think it's so interesting as I've studied Scripture, and I guess there are, three or four more pages here on money. And if you don't have a notebook, we'll get that get somebody's notebook and read the last few pages, where I go into the deliverance from overspending and how to be delivered from a pattern of overspending or a pattern of debt if you're in it now. And it's really interesting to see how we have turned from God as a nation and we have turned toward what He has created. And I think it's so interesting to see us using it up. You know, we're just using it up. And God's going to get us back to basics here pretty soon. He's going to take care of our overspending patterns if we don't take care of ourselves.